Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello, and welcome to another Project Love podcast episode. I have got Vicky in the hot seat today.
Yay!
And we're going to be talking about dating after a relationship ends. And this is inspired by a panel you were on recently, weren't you, Vicky?
Yep. It was a panel event in partnership with the matchmaking services Taylor Matched. Also, the founder of Taylor Matched, she's going to be on the podcast actually in the future. She's a really inspiring woman. So I was joined by three other guests and we talked about that topic, dating after a relationship ends. And then me and you were talking about it afterwards and we thought, let's explore this conversation more on the podcast because so many insights came out of it.
Yeah. So it's definitely for those of you who are out there looking for love, dating, but also I think I love having these conversations. You know, I haven't, you also, but I mean, you are a love coach. So obviously, you love having these conversations. But I love having these conversations because it's so interesting looking back when I was single and kind of, God, how hard it was. Partly for solidarity with those of you who are out there and, you know, going through the dating journey. But also, it was such a big part of my life. I find it really interesting to go back and remember, the ups and downs and the growth that happened by going through that journey, actually. So this is about when you've come out of a breakup, you've got over those early days of just despair and upset and maybe anger and all the cycle of grief that you kind of go through. And it's not all done and dusted. You're not like, you never go back into dating when you're completely healed. But you're kind of feeling ready to get back to it. And it could have been many, many years since you dated, if you dated at all, because I know some people are like, God, I never went on dates, got together with, you know, my partner at university and there was no dating involved, no official dating involved, certainly no online dating. So for some people, you know, it could have been so many years that online dating is something they've never experienced before.
Yeah.
Or maybe they've been with someone for just a few months, but it was intense and they really fell for them and it really hurt when it ended. They might have done the breaking up or they might have had the breaking up done to them when they weren't wanting it. So there's lots of different scenarios. But I suppose it's when people are at that stage where like, right, I feel ready and I want to get back into it, start meeting people again.
Yeah.
Where's a good place to start?
So I think it's important to, first of all, take stock of your previous relationship, the relationship that's ended, and take a moment to reflect on that relationship. Maybe there's lessons that you learned from that relationship. Maybe it's taught you about what you do want and what you don't want in your future one. And also get clear on what you're looking for in that future relationship. There's an exercise that I do with clients where I get them to visualize themselves in their future relationship and to notice how they feel in that future relationship and what are the qualities of that relationship that make it work, that make it great. And so really give yourself time to imagine yourself in the future experiencing a relationship with somebody else. You don't need to focus too much on the actual person, but just focus on the relationship and how it feels. And write a statement about what you're looking for, who you're looking for. So it could be, I'm so looking forward to meeting someone who is emotionally available, who is ready to commit, who wants the same things as me. And what I love about our relationship is how we support each other to grow, how we enjoy ourselves together, how we have fun and laugh together. You can write that in the present tense.
And looking forward to meeting that person. I like that. Yeah. That's lovely.
Yeah. And if you're reaching for the dating apps to help you to meet people, then really take it slow and see the apps as an opportunity to be introduced to people. So it's not really online dating. It's actually online introductions and offline dating because you're actually meeting them in person. And so you want to use the apps as a way to move to a coffee date as soon as you feel comfortable in arranging that coffee date with that person. And so use it as a tool, an introduction tool, and create some healthy boundaries around using the apps as well. Be mindful of slipping into pen pal territory with people that just want to chat to you on the apps for months and months.
There's a lot of that that goes on.
Yeah. Because as we talked about before, that's people practicing avoidance with that tactic. You know, it's like a false intimacy. And so move to that coffee date as quickly as you can. Maybe even a phone call to have a bit of a chat with someone before you meet them as well. Particularly if you're very new to dating, maybe dating wasn't around, online dating, sorry, wasn't around, like you were saying, you know, if you've been with somebody since university, then you'll be brand new to this. And so really take it slow and build in some rituals around it as well that will keep you feeling topped up with self-love. You might want to create some self-love practices that you can do around dating so that you don't feel burnt out by it. Build in some practices that help you to take breaks from it and also practice self-love as you're, you know, going out there and meeting people, because it does require you to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And practicing self-love will help you to be resilient through that process and to enjoy it more.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
Have some fun with it.
Also, I would say, be aware that there is a lot of stigma around online dating, and there probably will be a lot of friends who are like, oh God, there's no one out there. All the good ones are gone. You know, online dating is a nightmare. Now you're going to see what it's really like, all that kind of talk.
Yeah.
And it's really important that if you've got friends around who are quite negative about there being great available people out there, or negative about online dating, who've had really bad experience, enjoy telling you horror stories about their dating journey and their online dating, maybe avoid talking about dating with those friends and seek out the people who've had positive online dating experiences and ask them how they went about it. Because if there's one thing I've learned in listening to you over the years and having been love coached by you at the very beginning, is that it's how you approach online dating. It's one way of meeting people. I didn't meet my partner in the end through online dating, but online dating played a really positive and important part of my dating journey. If I hadn't used online dating to just get out there and practice having dates, it didn't matter if I fancied the person or not.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have felt confident to say yes to my now partner when he asked me on a date.
Yes.
So I think it's so important to just recognize there are so many people out there like giving online dating a bad rep.
Yeah.
But it's very much about how you approach it.
Yeah.
And I think it can be a really positive tool. But it's also not the only way, of course.
Yes, exactly. And see it as a way to practice.
Yeah.
Like you say, just practice meeting people again. You don't need to put loads of pressure on yourself to, you know, meet your future life partner with this dating app. Just experiment with it and just practice meeting people. You don't need to fancy them. You're just sort of flexing that muscle, that vulnerability muscle, and opening yourself up to connection.
Yeah.
Meeting people that you wouldn't have otherwise met.
Yeah.
And just relax and take the pressure off yourself for you to have to sort of reach this destination or outcome with it.
Yeah. I also want to emphasize what you said about it being a coffee date or any hot drink or cold drink date.
Yeah.
But like that, I remember speaking to a girlfriend who was like, oh my God, you know, she had been chatting to people online and then she'd have to organize babysitters to then go out. And she was, you know, quite far from town, have to get a taxi into town to go for a dinner, to meet a person. As soon as she got there, it was just like, oh no, you know, 5 minutes in. And now she had to spend a whole evening with this person, having dinner, feeling rubbish, getting a taxi back, having spent almost £100. And I was like, what are you doing? Go and have a coffee on the way home from work. That's it. Make it half an hour. If you like them, max half an hour.
Yeah.
If you like them, then you can put in the investment of a dinner. Mm-hmm. But God, don't make the first date a dinner. I think a lot of, again, that's an idea that we have. Oh, right. I guess we'll go for dinner. Mm. It's like, no. Don't go for dinner until it's like, until you've at least met them once.
Yeah, be really discerning with your time and energy. It's precious. Yes. Our time is our most precious resource. And so be really discerning with who you spend and invest that time with. Yeah. So it might be a coffee date at the beginning and you might think, God, I really enjoyed spending that 1 hour with this person that I'd never met before. Maybe another coffee. And then from there, you might decide, oh, maybe I'd love to, you know, go for a walk in the park next time, or cocktails, or the dinner. You might feel ready for that then. But bear in mind, as you say, the dinner date, the traditional dinner date, it takes up a lot of a lot more of your time. That's a whole evening gone. And if you do have a family, you've got kids and you need a babysitter and things like that, then it's a big investment that you're making. And you want to be sure that that person is worth that investment.
Exactly. Of time and money.
Yeah.
What? Okay. One of the things I'm imagining, I mean, anyone that's getting back, anyone that's dating is going to be coming with, will have come mostly from a previous breakup, unless it's the first time they're ever dating and they've just been not dating for most of their life, which is also possible. It's more likely everyone's coming from a breakup. So people are going to be coming with their fears about either because it's been so long since they've been dated, so that the anxiety of doing something that's totally out of their comfort zone, or that it's not been so long since they were last dating, but they're afraid of making the same mistake again, being hurt again. Or maybe they're coming with shame because maybe they cheated on their partner, their last partner, and then, you know, or like there's going to be so much emotional baggage that you might be taking with you.
Yeah.
How do you recommend people handle that? Because you don't want it to stop them from dating, because all of us are coming with emotional baggage.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I think everybody has their own unique fears around getting into a new relationship. For some people, it's a fear of intimacy and closeness, fear of rejection, fear of abandonment, fear of getting hurt again.
Or fear of being the one to hurt someone and thinking there's something intrinsically wrong with you, that you're going around hurting people and maybe you're just bad and evil on the inside. Do you know what I mean? I've definitely seen people having that going on, and then that plays itself out. And it's just like, yeah, how do you, I mean, I never went into dating without, perhaps until my final kind of few months of dating where I'd done so much work with you that I was pretty good at going in quite calm. But even then, stuff bubbled up, the anxieties, the fears.
And it will. I think it's about having courage. Use this as an opportunity to practice courage and compassion with yourself, knowing that you're never going to be fully fearless. I know that some coaches talk about fearlessness. Become your most fearless self. I don't believe in that.
I'll wait for that.
I don't believe in that. I don't know if it's possible as human beings to be totally fearless. We all experience fear. I think it's a universal experience, but it's how you manage the fear, and it's building a healthy relationship with those fears so that they don't sabotage you from creating a new relationship. And it requires you to learn how to manage your emotions.
Yeah,
there's a technique that I use called tapping, emotional freedom technique, and I teach this to clients to help them to manage their emotions. And soon we will have some IGTV tapping.
Yes! Oh my god, I'm so excited!
Yeah. So you'll be able to try the technique out.
Oh, thank God! I've been asking Vicky for this for ages.
It's coming!
Yay!
And so experiment with different ways that that will help you to manage your emotions. It might be having some sessions with a therapist, a coach, a counselor, going on a retreat, learning a technique like tapping, meditation. Experiment with different techniques to help you to manage those emotions.
Yeah. Also, don't be too afraid of that sabotaging side of you, because I definitely try to sabotage things at the start of pretty much every relationship I got into, but including the one that I'm now in. And when I listen to people's love stories, they often talk about like they really reveal their crazy side, or they do something to like, they're kind of testing. I think we do it to show this person, wow, I think I really like this person. Let's see if they like me when I'm like this. And it's just like, wow, you're really putting it to the test.
Yeah.
In week one, which I did.
Yeah.
And we got through it.
Yeah.
And it actually was, it wasn't a strategy. I wasn't deliberately doing it. But actually it was quite an important thing to have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Also don't be too afraid. Like, oh my God, what if I sabotage it and ruin everything? Sometimes a lot of people do, that saboteur comes up in the early days.
Yeah.
And the more you fear it and try to stop it from happening, almost like you invite it to happen, you know, through in its shadow form, and you don't see it happening. So if you're kind of aware of it, you're like, okay, hold on a second.
Exactly, being aware of it, it's not stopping the fear, it's not stopping the saboteur, because of course she's going to make an appearance.
Yeah.
But it's managing her, managing the saboteur.
Yes, exactly. And do you know what? When I was really trying to sabotage my now relationship in week one, a very good friend of mine was trying her best to stop me. When she got wind of it, she's like, babe.
I remember.
I think you had told her what was going on. And she was like, could we have a little word? And I was like, no. And I like turned off my phone and I went off and I did it anyway and tried to break up with him. And then in retrospect, I was like, yes, we should have had a word, but there you go. And it was fine. So I think it's also not feeling like now this time I have to be perfect.
No, you don't at all. And I think actually sharing that experience with that person, if you're experiencing a lot of fear because something's developing and you think, oh shit, I could really love this person, which is, I had a conversation with Gail Loveshock about this and we were talking about this, how terrifying it is when you realize, wow, I might really love you. And it is terrifying. And you can communicate that with your partner. You can talk about that with them. And I would advise you to do it way before you work out in your head this narrative, you know, and go sort of 30 steps forward in your mind on your own without including them in on that conversation. Because you may find that you have the conversation and then you think, oh, maybe that narrative I've created isn't true.
Yeah.
Be vulnerable. Have the courage to be vulnerable and say, I'm really experiencing some fear and anxiety right now. And I think it's because I've realized I really like you.
Yeah.
And hopefully they will hold that information as sacred.
Yes.
And they will honor your vulnerability in that moment. And they'll be glad that you've shared it with them. And so, yeah, you can totally bring those fears in. It's not about sort of denying these parts of yourself and trying to be this perfect version of you who's 100% ready for this new relationship.
Yeah. And also I think those anxieties, even that saboteur, the fears and everything, that's what makes you a vulnerable, real person that another human being can connect with. And I remember a friend of mine saying when he got together with his girlfriend, she went away after like in the early weeks of them getting together. And like one night she was drunk and she was texting like with all this anxiety and like these mad drunken messages. And she was just like, I mean, I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why you didn't just break up with me then. I sounded like a crazy person. And he's just like, God, no, I just thought, well, A, she's drunk. And B, well, it's kind of cute. She obviously really likes me. And he obviously really liked her. So he was kind of delighted by this crazy behavior because it showed that she liked him. And obviously he liked that slight, you know, he liked the edge. Yeah.
Well, there was something that Lauren Leopold, who was on the podcast sharing her real love story, she said something similar where she realized that she really liked this person and she sort of lashed out at him. I can't remember what he'd done, but she'd said this dramatic phrase like, well, I didn't expect this from you. And then he had I think they had planned to spend the evening together. He was really late, but he'd lost his phone and couldn't tell her. So she thought he just sort of stood her up. He ended up coming around much later and explained that he'd lost his phone. And then when he turned on his phone, he got the messages from her.
Oh, no.
And then he still brings it up and jokes about it. Well, I didn't expect this from you.
But I bet that anger was triggered from previous relationships where it hadn't been for good reasons, that she had been let down and she, you know, hadn't known and it was... you know, potentially for bad reasons. Mm-hmm. And so that's the other thing as well. I think that leftover hurt from past relationship can appear in the early days because it hasn't been resolved or it hasn't been dealt with or the fear of it happening again is going to, you know, and I think actually that continues on in relationships even after 10 years. You can still be worrying that, oh, here we go again, whether it's relationships from your childhood or relationships with a previous romantic partner or, you know, so... I think it's just really good to know that when you do get back into dating, that, these fears and anxieties, A, are totally natural, and B, everyone else is having them.
Yeah.
It's not like you're the anxious, fearful one that's going out dating and everyone else is like nailing it, confident, like no problem at all. Pretty much everyone has their own, you know, variety of this going on.
Yeah, I would be out of a job.
You can have a job.
You know, was super confident, totally comfortable and at ease with all the, with getting ready for love, with forming new relationships. Yeah, it's, it is, it does require you to be vulnerable. And that is something that we as human beings, we want, but we're very afraid of it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think just recognizing what to expect and that it's okay.
Yes.
Is like one of the most important things. What were, from the panel on this topic, what were some of the key takeaways that the other guests there perhaps sort of came up with, or some of the key questions that you were asked on the panel?
There was a dating coach for men there called Faisal, and he was talking about the importance of reaching out if you're going through a breakup and not knowing if you're sort of ready for that new relationship. Mm. Maybe you're still in that process of grief, grieving the end of that previous relationship. And he was talking about the importance of reaching out and that we're not islands. So stuff that we say to our female clients, but the way that he's addressing the men in the room, saying, you know, he's been there as a man who'd experienced that. He's been there, got the t-shirt, and encouraging other people to reach out as well. And it just felt really positive for that male vulnerability that he invited in with the male guests in the audience. And to know that if any men were in the audience feeling that, they're feeling maybe the sting of a previous relationship, a previous breakup, that they were not alone in that experience.
Yeah.
It was just a really positive experience to have men and women in the room sharing their different experiences, but actually not so different.
Exactly.
Actually the same universal experience.
Yeah. Okay. One question I would have definitely had at that panel, now I'm thinking about it, is how do you know when you're ready to start dating?
Yes, I think this was mentioned in the panel, actually. So you never really know fully. You don't wake up one day.
There's not a formula.
I'm 100% ready. You may feel a readiness and an openness for the future, for creating something new. Check in on your intention for wanting to create a new relationship, go on that dating journey, and see if it comes from a place of fear, i.e., want to get revenge on my ex,
or anger.
Anger at my ex versus an intention of love, which is I feel ready now to meet new people. I want to connect with like-minded people, and I'm just going to see how it goes. They're two very different intentions. They'll give you two very different experiences.
Yeah.
They say that breakups go through the five stages of grief that we go through when we grieve the death of a loved one. And in this anger phase, our serotonin levels are really low. And so our serotonin levels dictate our obsessive compulsive thoughts, or they have an influence on obsessive compulsive thoughts. And so if we're still in that phase, we could likely be reading old messages from the past, replaying the past, Instagram stalking, and, you know, replaying your previous relationship, which stops you from moving forward because it keeps you stuck in the past. One quick tip with that actually is to get out and about in sunlight because it boosts your serotonin levels. So take a walk in nature and get outside, go for a walk. It will help you with that if you find that you're going down a rabbit hole of sort of replaying the past. And just
put down the phone, close Facebook, Instagram, any stalking apps,
any stalking device. Yes. And then just be open-minded and open-hearted and go for it. And if you find that you're being really emotionally triggered and that the trigger is very disproportionate to what the thing actually is when you're dating and you're getting out there, then take breaks and lean into that. Lean into the resistance, lean into all the fears that are coming up. And get curious about them. Be really compassionate with yourself. Journal. Maybe seek the help of a therapist or coach to help you through that process of letting go fully. You may feel that you may feel quite peaceful around your previous relationship. That's a good sign that you're sort of ready to move forward.
I think it's a willingness to move forward.
Yeah,
a willingness to
to
start a new chapter. And I think also the other thing I would say is, don't wait until you feel really excited to get out there dating. Because I think, again, about 10% of people ever actually feel excited about getting out there and dating. It's like the amount of people who like public speaking. It's probably about the same percentage, I would say. And I think you can also, because either there's lots of fear around it, which was definitely the case for me around dating and meeting, you know, going on dates with people I'd never met before. But you might have also slipped into you know, a sense of sort of hopelessness or disappointment or apathy. Well, it might appear to be apathy, but that comes from a sense of hopelessness and what's the point?
Yeah.
There's no one out there, which then you can get stuck in that. And then it's, do you know what? Actually, I'm fine anyway. Like, I just don't think right now I've got time for it or whatever you can tell yourself. And if it really isn't the time, and if you're really enjoying getting back in touch with you and your friends and enjoying this, you know, the freedom of being on your own, then that's brilliant. But I think you might find yourself stuck in that sort of sense of, yeah, a bit of like hopelessness and what's the point?
Yeah.
So what would you recommend? Do you think, well, just jump into the dating and that might help get you going? Or would you go back and do a bit of healing and self-love to kind of get you into that more positive, maybe listening to inspiring stories, actually, to remind yourself it is possible.
Exactly. Yeah. So read the success stories on the dating apps that you're using. Bumble have some really good ones.
Yeah.
And listen to our love stories. Remind you that it is possible that if the people that you're reading about, listening to, that if they can make this change, why couldn't you? A mantra that you could say to yourself is, good for you, same for me, which is actually a mantra from Corinne, is a member of our Project Love community. I did thank her on Instagram once because I'd mentioned it to someone else.
Oh, really?
As a mantra that you can say to yourself if you feel sometimes, you know, stuck in comparison, or, you know, you're listening to an inspiring story and rather than thinking, oh, like if they could do it, so could I, you start to think, oh, well, it's all right for them and not for me. Then say that mantra to yourself.
Yeah.
And also remind yourself of changes that you've made in your life before and the courage that it took to make those changes. Remind yourself of things that you've changed and made happen before, and remind yourself of your courage and resilience and trust that you have what it takes to create change in this part of your life. If it's creating a new pattern, a new relationship blueprint, if it's creating a really healthy and loving relationship, because maybe that's what was missing before, maybe it was unhealthy, and this time you want to create that change and create a healthy and loving relationship with someone who's available. Trust that you can make that change, and if you can't see how, then that's fine. You don't need to know all the steps right now, but just trust that with the willingness to move forward, you can create a change in your love life. And know that this isn't the end of your love story. This is a chapter in your story. And so you may want to, after you've taken stock of the previous relationship that we talked about in the beginning, then write the name of the new chapter of this story now. What do you want it to be called?
Oh, I love that.
What's this new chapter of your love story? Write the name of what that is, and have the courage to close the door on that previous chapter, that it's time to move forward and that you deserve a loving and secure relationship with someone who wants the same things as you. And remind yourself that it's possible. Create that vision of your future relationship and allow yourself to get excited about that, about meeting your match and meeting someone who, he's going to be an amazing partner for you. Get excited and inspired by that.
Oh, that is a beautiful, I think that's a beautiful place to end. I'm feeling very positive, as if I were in the shoes of someone who's thinking about getting back into dating. So we've got lots more on the podcast, actually, many more episodes on this topic. We've got a great heartbreak one. If you're still in the early days, we've got a really good heartbreak one. I have no idea what episode it is. Scroll down.
I think it's last summer, so quite a few. Scroll down.
Also, actually, if you Google Project Love Heartbreak, it should come up on Google search. That's how I find our podcast.
Oh, do you? Great. Good on Google.
And then we've also got a whole Get Ready for Love series on the podcast as well, the Get Ready for Love episodes.
Yeah.
And how do they get in touch with you for coaching, Vicky?
Yes. So if you would like to become a client in the new year in 2020, then head to loveprojectlove.com/lovecoaching. So whilst I'm fully booked right now, you can fill out the form and send me your details, and then we can arrange a discovery call for you to secure your spot for the new year for 2020. You can join me on the Get Ready for Love program.
Oh, how exciting. God, there's nothing better than going on a love, getting ready for love journey. It is life changing. And not just for the fact that you open up and you do find your way to that loving relationship, but also the journey you go on for yourself and your relationship with yourself that flourishes as a result. And obviously that impacts in all other areas of life. Oh, so exciting.
Yay.
Thank you, Vicky.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say, best podcast ever. Thank you.